First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. That is a powerful, powerful passage, a powerful prayer. And I want to talk about the prayer of Jabez tonight and the blessing of the Lord. And I want to balance some things out that I've been sharing with you, because we took a few weeks to talk about commitment and focus and being directed in our heart toward the Lord and the person of the Lord, and seeking the Lord with a pure heart, a good heart, a pure motive, and things of that nature. And so I don't want to leave the impression, however, that there would be something wrong for God's people to pray for the blessing of the Lord to be worked into their life and for the blessings of the Lord to come into their life. There's a balance on these kind of things, and you can get one ditch or the other. You can either preach that God doesn't will any good thing for His people or any prosperity whatsoever or any blessings at all, and poverty and holiness are synonymous, and get in that ditch. Or again, you can get clean over into the other ditch where you begin to pursue prosperity and things and material gain, and you get into covetousness and things of that nature. We don't want to be in either ditch, amen. We want to go right down the middle of the road. We want to know how to stay focused, yes. We want to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things be added unto us. Now, the reason I want to look at the prayer of Jabez is because I'm seeing this prayer absolutely manifest in my life and in this ministry and in many of your lives. And a lot of people think that it would be wrong to pray a prayer like this, that it would be a lack of focus, that it would be seeking things instead of seeking God. And that's not true. When you see what this man prayed and how he prayed, it is incredible the focus of this prayer. It's incredible the purity of his heart in this prayer. And it's incredible the balance in one prayer that a man could exhibit under the anointing like Jabez exhibited. I want that kind of thing in my life. I don't want a false balance in my life in any area. Amen? Proverbs chapter 11 verse 1 says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but He delights in a just weight. Any kind of false balance is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. And God wants balance. He wants balance in every part of our life, not just even our spiritual life. He wants balance in every single realm of our life, and He delights in that. Well, again, if somebody was to overhear you pray, oh, God, bless me indeed, enlarge my boundaries, and let not your hand be removed, but let your hand be heavy upon me and keep me from evil, lest I be grieved thereby. A lot of people would think that is a carnal prayer or a selfish prayer or that your heart wasn't right, and that's just not true. Let's turn over real quick to Proverbs chapter 10 and look at a passage that I did a series on years ago on the blessing of the Lord, because Jabez prayed for the Lord to bless him indeed. And so what do we really mean when we pray, Lord bless us? What are we really saying when we ask? Everybody say ask. Ask the God of the universe to bless us, that the Lord would bless us. And what does it mean that I desire a blessing from the Lord, or the blessing of the Lord? Now, I spent hours on this. I'm just going to review this briefly here so that I can tie it in with the prayer of Jabez. But there are tapes available on the blessing of the Lord that'll go into detail if you haven't heard those or you weren't with us. But let's be reminded of this passage here. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Notice the terminology. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow therewith. Notice how He separated the blessing of the Lord from riches. Riches are not necessarily the blessing of the Lord in our lives. Things are not necessarily blessings. Now, things can be a blessing. Your home can be a blessing. But just because you have a home, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the blessing of the Lord. An automobile Transportation can be a blessing, but just because you have an automobile or a Cadillac or a whatever the going thing is that is supposed to be the cream of the crop, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a blessing or the blessing of the Lord. How many of you know drug dealers drive expensive cars? And so cars might not be the blessing of the Lord. Gamblers, thieves, crooks, they live in multi-million dollar homes. So that doesn't mean a multi-million dollar home is the blessing of the Lord. It could be, don't misunderstand me, but we have to rightly divide in our heart the blessing of the Lord from the things that come out of the blessing of the Lord. See, the blessing of the Lord is an intangible thing that when you mix faith with it, it affects tangible things. Okay, that's not hardy enough. Maybe we need to teach this again. The blessing of the Lord in my life, the blessing of the Lord in your life, us praying, oh God, bless me, is not necessarily a tangible thing. It's an intangible thing that when I mix faith with it and I walk by faith, it begins to affect tangible things. As I receive the blessing of the Lord, as I ask God to bless me and I believe I receive for Him to bless me indeed, that can in time affect my finances. It can in time affect material things, but the blessing of the Lord will make you rich. Listen, it'll make you rich in friendships. Hallelujah. It'll make you rich in relationships. It'll make you rich in a marriage, a healthy, functional, happy, productive, fruitful marriage. Some of you don't even have the right goal. You're just trying to stay married. Hallelujah. You think the goal is staying married. That ain't the goal. The goal is being happily married. Amen. God doesn't want you just to stay married. He wants you to be happily married. The blessing of the Lord is an intangible thing that'll affect my marriage. It'll affect my child rearing and child raising. It'll affect how I handle myself and conduct myself on the job. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and God addeth no sorrow. I want the blessing of the Lord. I need the blessing of the Lord. Now, in those tapes, again, I go into detail defining biblically the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord is the favor of God in your life. It's the favor of God in your life. The blessing of the Lord is your forgiveness and you knowing your complete forgiveness through the blood, through the cross, through your simple faith. If you really have a revelation of your forgiveness and you're walking in your forgiveness, you're a blessed man. You may be broke. You may be so poor you can't pay attention. But if you know you are completely forgiven and made right with God and stand in His presence, if you can stand in the presence of God, you'll never fall in the presence of the devil. Amen. You're blessed. You're blessed. See, we try to measure the blessing of the Lord with tangible things in people's lives. And we even look at people's lives and go, he sure is blessed. Look at the car he's driving. I know some people blessed that don't have a car. Well, they sure are blessed. Look at the home they live in. I know some people that don't have a home that are blessed, blessed of the Lord. These tangible things have nothing to do with the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord in time affects tangible things. But the tangible things are not the blessing. The favor of God is the blessing. The graciousness of God in your life. The divine favor of God is the blessing of the Lord. The empowering word of God spoken over you is the blessing of the Lord. See, I'm blessing you tonight, whether you know it or not, because I am speaking the word of God Almighty. I'm speaking a positive, affirming, empowering word over your life and over your heart that will impact your future. That's a blessing of the Lord. We're supposed to go to church and get blessed. Sometimes we don't. Hallelujah. But we're working on that here at least, that if you're going to come here, you're going to get blessed. What does that mean? I'm going to give you some money? No. I'm going to take your money. Just kidding. You thought it, and so I thought I would express it. Go to Numbers chapter 6, and I speak this over us many times after a service, and it's the blessing of the Lord. The book of Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. The blessing of the Lord is God's goodness and God's kindness working in your heart and now through your life. For me to pray, bless me, O God, and bless me indeed, I am saying, I want to see your face. I want to know your favor shining upon me. I want to know your goodness and kindness toward me, because if I see it by revelation, the Holy Spirit reproduces it in my life. And now as I'm blessed, God makes me a blessing. Do you know people can be a blessing in your life? Not everybody is a blessing in our lives. some folk are like the devil incarnate in our lives. But God's will is that I be to you a blessing. God's will is that you be to me a blessing. See, for you to be a blessing to me, you got to be blessed. For me to be a blessing to you, I've got to be blessed. See, if I pray, bless me, O God, someone who does not know the Bible, someone who has not been taught and trained in the Word of God, may think I'm being selfish or self-centered. And I'm just saying, bless me, bless me. My name is Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy and my last name is Moore. Gimme more, gimme more, gimme more. Amen? Now, if your name is Jimmy, let it go. And if your last name is Moore, I just honored you publicly. Hallelujah. Amen. Think about it like that. All I know is when I say, bless me, O God, my true motive, Jabez's true motive was, I can't bless you beyond how I'm blessed. I have to be blessed to bless you. I have to receive to give. I can't give what I ain't got. So for me to be kind to you with a pure kindness, not this fakey, phony, plastic Christianity that we see in a lot of people that are being kind and they're really not kind of heart. They're just going through the motions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about truly being kind to you. I have to see the kindness of God toward me. And boy, when I say, bless me, O God, and He reveals His kindness, because that's a part of Him blessing and the blessing of the Lord, it's easy to be kind to other people then. Does that make sense? In Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Notice that they didn't pass out any goodies. Notice it wasn't a big now welfare program of the spirit world, and we're passing out keys to cars, and we're passing out buildings, and we're passing out homes, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He said, here's how you bless the children of God. You say over them, you speak over them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give you peace. That's the blessing of the Lord. Knowing how God sees you is a blessing. Seeing His love for you is a blessing. Seeing His goodness towards you, His kindness towards you. Seeing how that when He sees you in Jesus and Jesus in you, and He's gracious to you. And He lifts up His countenance. I have looked at everybody in this building already during this message. I have purposely looked at everyone in this building as I've communicated, as I have spoken from my heart. And my words are spirit in their life, and I'm imparting bodies of truth into your heart. I've looked at everybody in here. Now, let's say Sue wasn't here. She is here. But let's say she wasn't here, and she came through the back door all of a sudden while I'm talking right now. While I have looked at everybody in here, I have not lifted my countenance upon anybody. I'm scanning the crowd. But if Sue walked in, I would go, right? Isn't that what you do when you see your wife? Nod your head, act spiritual, fool your neighbor. I said, isn't that what you do when you see your wife? That's exactly what you do. Hint, 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 hint. That's lifting your countenance. In other words, Sue stands out in the crowd. Sue had the preeminence, head and shoulders above the crowd. Had my undivided attention. I literally lit up in seeing her. I'm telling you, few people in their entire life believe with all their heart that when God looks at you, He lifts up His countenance. He sees you above the crowd. He knows your name. He knows your heart. He knows His good pleasure that He has willed before the foundations of the world. And when He looks at you, He has the ability as God for you to be special to Him, for you to stand out in the crowd, and He just lights up. That's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. Hallelujah. Keep your money. Keep your cars. Keep your boats. If I know in my heart of heart that God Almighty looks at me and goes, "Ooh, that's my boy. Hallelujah." Amen. I'm going to be functional now. I'm going to be productive. I'm going to be fruitful. And I would rather have the blessing of the Lord. It maketh me rich. It will make me rich in relationships, rich in fulfillment, joy, peace, knowing that God loves me like that. That's the blessing of the Lord. That's the blessing of the Lord. So when we go back to Jabez now, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Let's keep that in mind as we look at his prayer and him praying and asking God to bless him. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Notice that verse 9 says, This man was more honorable than all his brethren. See, if you start praying, God bless me. Bless me, God. I desire a blessing. I want a blessing. I want to receive a blessing. I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 Christians around you, if they overhear you say that, will think you're less honorable than other people in the church because it sounds carnal to them and self-centered, and it's not at all. He was more honorable than the other brethren praying this prayer. So we need to understand the prayer. We need to pray the prayer. We need to pray it for ourselves. We need to pray it for our children, our families. I pray this over you often, this body. I pray it over your businesses. I pray it over your marriages. I pray it over your families. And a part of being a member of a church, truly under the covering of a pastor, is a pastor has a supernatural authority in the spirit realm and world that he can pray and intercede and stand in the gap and speak these blessings over people, and they can see the impact of it if they will be submissive to that authority. So I have a degree of authority, and I can help you with this, even if you don't do it for yourself. But if you'll get in agreement with me, and you pray it for your marriages, and you pray it for your children, and I'm praying it with you, now we can have a greater impact. Does that make sense? And pray it over our church. His name was Jabez. In Hebrew, it means pain. His mother brought him forth in pain, in sorrow, and named this poor child Pain. And everybody in the culture knew their names. They knew what their names meant. We don't know what all these names mean. I don't even read all the names in this. I remember in Bible school, I had to read the Bible through 2 times in Bible school, and then I've read it through many times since Bible school. And these are some of the hardest chapters in the whole Bible to read, because it just starts off with so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, 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 begat. And you had to read it all so that when you took the test and said you read it, you can't lie. I mean, Bible school is not a good place to lie. And so you got to read it, and you can't say the names. I can't say all these names. Now, I know you are all scholars, and you can pronounce all the Bible names. But to this day, I don't know why nobody was named Bob or George. They're all weird names. And so you got all these chapter after chapter after chapter of so-and-so who you can't say their name begat so-and-so. And finally, in the middle of the whole thing, though, you've got this prayer. That's supposed to get our attention. It's supposed to stand out, and it does if you've ever read this. If you'll read it now. Some of you, bless your hearts, you are taking legal and some of you illegal drugs to go to sleep. You don't need to do that. Read these chapters. Read the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus will put you to sleep in 5 minutes, I guarantee you, knock you in the head like you were hit with a hammer. It's just boring stuff. My point is, while we can't hardly say the names and we don't know all they mean, we got to study them and look them up in dictionaries and concordances. In their culture, they all knew what their names meant. So every time he was introduced, every time his name was said, everybody knew it meant pain and sorrow. What a horrible thing to do to a child. My name means pain. He had a curse put on him from birth. He grew up being introduced to all his friends and every new relationship as Jabez, and it meant pain. It meant suffering. Many of us grew up under family curses. And when I say family curses, I'm not talking about your parents cussing you. Some of us grew up with that too. But I'm not talking about they cussed you. I'm talking about a curse. I'm talking about the opposite of a blessing. A blessing is the empowering spoken word of God over you. I prove that in those tapes on the blessing of the Lord. That's how God blesses. He speaks. That's how God blesses and imparts a blessing. He speaks an empowering word over you to change your heart and change your life. Well, a curse is the opposite of that. It is an empowering word to destroy. To destroy, to put down. This boy grew up under a family curse. He grew up with that limitation. And yet he came to a point in his life, he said, enough is enough. I have seen God, I have studied the patriarchs and matriarchs, and I have come to the conclusion that God wills to bless. And so he cries out, bless me, O God, indeed. And then when you see the rest of his prayer, again, you see the context of his heart in the prayer. All right, let's go with the first thing again. Bless me, indeed. He asked for a blessing. Write these references down so you can check them out. 2 Chronicles 1:7. 2 Chronicles 1:7. God comes to Solomon, who's worshiping him, offering up sacrifices. And God said to Solomon, ask what I shall give you. God speaks to a man and says, ask me what I can give you. It's not wrong to ask God for something. It's not wrong to petition God even for things. I've already given you the balance on what is wrong and when it's wrong. God says to Solomon, what do you want? Ask me anything you want. And to the man's credit as a teenager, I mean, I just think so highly of him as a teenager. I certainly as a teenager wasn't where he was. He cries out to God. He could have asked for anything and God would have given him anything. He didn't ask for vengeance on his enemies. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for power to abuse and hurt and manipulate people. He asked for wisdom to rule the people of God. And God said, you did good, because wisdom has two hands, long life in one hand and riches in the other hand. We need to ask for wisdom. So Solomon, approached by God, was asked to ask. Elijah asked Elisha to ask him what he wanted from him. And Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of the anointing that he had. And Elisha didn't say, that's an ungodly thing you ask of me. That's covetousness and wrong to ask that of me. Now, it can be wrong for me, a minister, to covet another ministry's anointing. That could be wrong. It definitely would be wrong for me to covet another church's attendance, favor, etc., etc. But Elijah didn't look at Elisha and say, you ask me an ungodly thing. You ask for an impure thing. He said, listen, you ask for a hard thing. You ask me for a hard thing. But if you stick with me, if you'll be committed, everybody say committed. Yes. If you'll be committed, if you see me when I'm taken, you'll get a double portion of what I have. Jesus said in Luke 11:9, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Jesus himself said it is right for us. It's okay for us. And he admonished us to ask, to seek and to knock. James, the brother of Jesus, technically half brother of Jesus, he said that we have not because we don't ask. And then we don't receive because we ask amiss. And he told you when we're asking amiss, when we're asking truly with an impure heart for selfish gain, impure motives, when we ask truly just to heap something up on our own lust, we ask amiss. But he admonished us again to ask. Jacob in Genesis 32 wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long, all night long. And the angel, and I don't understand this part. Again, I know some folk know everything. You can't tell them nothing and they know everything. I can't figure out why the angel said, it's about to break day and I have to go. I don't know if he was a vampire angel or what. But that part puzzles me. Why did the angel say, it's about to break day, I have to go? I don't have the answer to that, but I have the answer to what happened because I can read and I can interpret the context. All of a sudden, this angel said, I've got to go, I've got to go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go till you bless me. Now, if it's wrong to ask for a blessing, why did the angel of the Lord, not rebuke Jacob for that request, but bless Jacob and honor Jacob? At that point, he said, what is your name? Jacob, which means twister. He said, not no more. I'm changing your name to Israel, which means a prince with God. God blessed and honored him asking for a blessing. Isn't that good? That God honored him and blessed him for asking for a blessing. Thank God that's in there so we don't get confused. Look at 1 Chronicles 4:10 again. And Jabez called on the Lord God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. All right, what does it mean to enlarge my coast? We need to pray. I pray for you. God bless them. Lord bless them. Lord bless me. I pray that for myself every day and make me a blessing like you did my father Abraham. In the book of Genesis, you'll find when God blessed Abraham, he made him a blessing. It's the only way we can be a blessing is to be blessed. People that aren't blessed don't bless nobody else. People that walk in the blessing become a blessing. So he says, bless me indeed. Then he says, enlarge my coast. The applying of that probably is endless. But let me give you a few ideas and then you run with them in the presence of the Lord and in your prayer time. For one thing, a businessman or a businesswoman who would pray this, Lord, bless me and enlarge my border. We need to believe for our businesses to grow, to be enlarged. Because your borders is your coast, one translation says. Your territory. Listen, your sphere of influence. I've approached businessmen and women in the past. And they've said, well, I'm blessed enough. My business is big enough. I got all I need. Well, you ain't got all I need. Amen? Your business needs to grow because I need some more. So you need to be blessed in order to bless the work of the ministry. We can't reach out to people and touch people's lives without finances. And God has to get it to you to get it through you. So you need your borders enlarged. Every businessman and businesswoman in here needs to multiply and be fruitful and keep growing, not for selfish gain or selfish reasons. For every progression in your business is another job made that's a good paying job in a good company, hallelujah, and more finances to finance the kingdom of God. So businessmen and businesswomen need to pray this, and that's part of what it means for your border, your sphere of influence, to increase. Secondly, your witness. We all have a witness, a border, a coast, a sphere of influence in our witness. And we all desire, if we love God, for our witness and the border of our witness, the sphere of our influence, to increase. I want to reach more people, not for selfish gain, not for name's sake, not for exposure, but I know what I have to say is changing lives, so I want my border to be expanded because I want to see another life changed, hallelujah. You reach people I can't reach. You speak into people's lives I can't speak into. People will listen to you that won't listen to a preacher. And so that is part of the blessing of the Lord in this prayer, is that your border, your sphere of influence would increase. We are the laborers that God wants to send into the harvest. He's sending me, you support me. By supporting this ministry, you receive the benefits and blessings of this ministry as a support. But you have your own witness. You have your own sphere of influence, and God wants to increase that. He wants to increase that. Another application in your life would just be helping people, period. The more people you help, listen, and you're successful. Everybody say successful. The more people you really help and you're successful, the more it increases all of a sudden. You sit down with one troubled marriage and you fix it, you have no idea the mess you just got yourself into. Because if you really fixed it, they'll go tell a friend that you fixed theirs. So that friend's going to come to get theirs fixed. And then you fix theirs. And guess what? They tell a friend. And before you know it, you're into the third stage of this prayer. Because your sphere of influence has increased, and with your sphere of influence, with your border increasing in the natural and in the supernatural, comes pressure, comes problems. How many of you know if your business grows, you got more problems, more headaches? How many of you know if your witness grows, you have more problems, more pressure, more headaches, more persecution? If your ministering, helping people grows, you'll have more pressure. You'll have more headaches. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:9 that there was a door of... He didn't say there was a door. He said there was a door of utterance, something that evades me at times, that was open to him, but there be many adversaries. Every promotion you go through will be new adversaries. Every door or border expansion you experience at any level, there will be new adversaries, bigger adversaries, meaner adversaries, badder adversaries than what you met the day before. So that's where the third part of this prayer comes in. He says, God, bless me indeed. Enlarge my border and let not your hand be anything but with me. I need your hand to be with me. Why did he pray for the hand of the Lord to be with him after the first two things he said? Because the hand of the Lord in the Bible is the anointing of God. The hand of the Lord is the Spirit of God in the Bible. I'll give you some illustrations of that here in just a minute. The reason I have to pray not only bless me, not only increase my borders, I have to pray for the hand of the Lord to be heavy upon me, because with the increase comes an acute awareness of my weaknesses. I get tired. Do you ever get tired? I get weary. Do you ever get weary? I get confused. Do you ever get confused? Some of you are thinking, get? I've been confused since 1922. With every new thing period in our life comes this added pressure, and the weakness of our flesh begins to kick in, and we sense our inability. I can't do this. I witness to these people and I help these people with their marriage. Now my phone's ringing at midnight. I need the Lord to empower me. I need the Lord to strengthen me. Write these passages down, these illustrations. Samson is an illustration of the hand of the Lord giving you supernatural ability to do what you can't do. The Bible says when the hand of the Lord came upon Samson, he did exploits. When the hand of the Lord, that's the term it uses, when the hand of the Lord came upon Samson, the Bible says he took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines in one day. That wasn't natural. That wasn't human ability. That was the hand of the Lord. That was Samson cooperating with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God manifesting in Samson's natural life so he could do exploits. Without the hand of the Lord, we know that when the hand of the Lord didn't come upon him, just a few Philistines tied him up, poked his eyeballs out, and made him no more than an oxen. Without the hand of the Lord, that's the way we become. Blind, unable to see, unable to go in a straight line and fulfill the destiny of the Lord. But like that oxen and like Samson, we go around and around and around and around, grinding the corn, grinding the corn. Independent of the anointing of God in my life, I would cease to progress forward, and I would just go around in confusion and around in confusion and around in confusion, blinded to the divine will of God for my life, blinded to the destiny that God desires to manifest in my life. That's what happens to you, dear ones, when you don't submit to the Spirit of God. When you don't follow after the things of God and the will of God for your life, and you don't learn how to yield to the hand of the Lord. It's the anointing of God. It's the presence of God that empowers us to do what we humanly do not have the power to do. I don't humanly have the power to do what I do, or I could boast. It's the anointing of God in my life. And that's why this next part of this prayer is so important, because if I ever quench the anointing of God, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall. I'm not going to succeed, and I'm not going to be fruitful. Now, let me give you a couple more illustrations. I said a couple. Elijah. How many of you remember the story when he prayed that it wouldn't rain and it didn't rain? Then he prayed that it would rain and it did rain. The New Testament mentions that. When he saw the rain come and he spoke to Ahab and told Ahab he better get back. I believe it was to Jezreel. Told him he better get back, and Ahab took off with his chariot. And the Bible says the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and Elijah got back to Jezreel running quicker than the king did with his horses and chariot. That's not natural. Can I get a witness? How many of you know the king didn't have donkeys for horses? The king had the fastest horses in the country. And yet when the anointing came on that man, he outran the king and his chariot. The king was boogie, 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 boogie to Jezreel. He was kicking up the carpet and the dust, if you will. And the Bible says he saw Elijah go by him. He's like, what was that? That was Elijah. That was Elijah with the hand of the Lord on him. There's a difference in just a man without God and a man with God. There's a difference in a man yielded to the Holy Spirit and a man rebelling against the Holy Spirit in the exploits of God. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 30, the apostles prayed that the Lord would stretch forth his hand. Now, do you reckon that the hand of the Lord in the New Testament is any different than the hand of the Lord in the Old Testament? I reckon not. They prayed that God would stretch forth his hand to heal and that signs and wonders would be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. So the hand of the Lord is the anointing. It's the tangible presence of the Lord empowering us to fulfill the will of God for our lives in the earth. Now, look at the prayer again. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast or my boundary or my territory. You could say my sphere of influence. and that thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. We need to pray that the Lord keep us from evil. Keep us from evil. It's tragic in my profession, the ministry, pulpit ministry, pastoring, reaching out to so many people. How many of us ministers did not daily pray and consecrate our heart and ask God to keep us from evil? How many good men, how many good women have crashed and burned because they didn't stay out of evil? They didn't stay out of evil. We all have to pray, Lord, keep us from evil. See, how many years, saints, are you going to be asking for me and God to get you out of trouble? That's no way to live. We've all been there. Everybody say, I love. Brother Dwayne. Everybody say, this is good. Everybody say, he's preaching. Better than I'm responding. But that's all right. It'll all work out. We've all been in trouble. We've all got, now you don't have to preach with me the whole message now. That's good. That's good. I'm not chiding you. I appreciate the obedient heart. You can rest now and pay attention. Everybody ready? We all get in trouble. We've all had days of trouble. But these are supposed to get less and less and less. And we're supposed to stay out of trouble in time. Amen. We're supposed to grow up. We're supposed to mature. And we're supposed to be rescuing people instead of always needing to be rescued. Hallelujah. Well, that ain't going to happen if you don't start praying. It's not going to happen if you don't fellowship with God. You don't learn these things and understand these things. I pray this, and I need it as much today as I needed it 20 years ago. Lord, not only bless me and enlarge my border and my coast, and I thank you for your hand upon it, but keep me from evil. Keep me from it. I don't want to have to come and get bailed out. Keep me away from it. There's some things we get into is stupid. We shouldn't have even opened the door for temptation. You got to watch what you watch. You got to watch that internet. I'm talking in a way that some of you didn't get it. You need to quit watching the internet and what you're watching on it. I'm saying watch the internet in the sense of you can't go to every website on that thing. Can I get a witness? And the world will accommodate you quickly, and they'll put stuff up there quick for you to mess your whole life up. You better pray God keep you from evil. Go to John, and I've already got myself in so much trouble on Sundays, it don't matter no more. Might as well just dig the hole a little deeper. John 17, Jesus prayed something that I had never heard prayed. I went to church my whole upbringing, and I never heard about Jabez, and I never heard anybody pray, bless me, oh God. And if I would have, I'd have been one of the first to go, that ain't right. You can't be praying for God to bless you. And yet Jabez's heart, in just one prayer, simple prayer, short prayer, he covered all the bases. Absolutely covered all the bases. Keep me from evil that it grieve me not. How many of you know evil will grieve you in time? Sin will kill. Sin has wages. It has consequences. It has repercussions. Listen to his prayer. Bless me. But he didn't stop right there. Enlarge my coast. Didn't stop right there. Keep your hand upon me, anointing, and keep me from evil, so that it grieve me not. We've got to wise up. We've got to realize that sin is pleasurable for a season. What does that mean? It runs out. Evil is enticing, or who would do it? Evil has senses attached to it and sensuality attached to it and temporary pleasure, or who would do it? But you are the children of God, and you're to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You're to know the Word of God. You're to understand holiness and the reason for holiness and sanctification and all them kind of things, because you know that you know that you know that if I bite into this thing, it's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to pain, depression, sorrow, unfulfillment, misery. Everybody listening. That's supposed to help you to resist. In John 17, look at verse 14. Jesus is praying. This technically is the Lord's Prayer right here, John 17. But I don't want to go there. Let's leave that one alone. He's praying, and this is his high priestly prayer on the earth just before he went to the cross. Look at verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. If the world doesn't hate you, it's because you're one of them. If the world hates you, don't get down in the mully grubs. Realize that's a sure sign you're not one of them. You're not one of them. Look at verse 15. I pray not, everybody say not. I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Did you see it before I make my comments? We're going to read it one more time because some of you aren't listening. Verse 15. I pray not. Everybody say not. I pray not that thou wouldest rapture them. Oh, excuse me. Take them out of the world. I pray not for the rapture. I pray not that you'd take them out of the world. I pray not. I ain't going to pray that, God. I ain't going to pray that you take them out of all this. Let's read it again. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I pray not that you isolate them, but that you separate them. I pray not that they all buy land in Guyana and have their little commune and have no contact with sinners. See, if we knew the Bible, we wouldn't get caught up in all this junk. We'd recognize the counterfeit quick if we knew the real. You know, that was a revelation to me when I learned that the feds, the way they know a counterfeit bill is not by studying counterfeit bills. The feds are taught the original so good, so well. They know the original so well, they spot the counterfeit quick. If we knew the real deal, if we knew the real thing, if we knew the Word of God, we would spot the counterfeit, the Antichrist spirit, quick. It wouldn't be that hard. The Bible doesn't teach isolation. The Bible teaches separation. And there's a difference between separation and isolation. The Bible doesn't teach insulation. It teaches separation. It teaches we're in the world, but not of the world. And there's a difference. Well, I went down to that church and I'm telling you the devil was there. The devil's in every church. Amen. Well, we just bind the devil from this property. He can't come in here. Well, then you couldn't have made it in here, some of you. I'm sorry. I'm just dealing with some religious concepts. We are in this world, but we're not of it. And Jesus, think about that. Think about the grief I will catch for saying Jesus didn't pray that we'd be raptured. I heard more prayers to be raptured. Matter of fact, that's all the prayers I heard coming up was to be raptured, to be taken out. I never heard anybody at an altar go, I'm not praying, oh God, for you to take us out, but for you to keep us from the evil in this world. I never heard a preacher say, Lord, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, that you isolate and insulate them. I ain't praying that, God. I'm praying that they be so full of the Holy Ghost. I'm praying they be so blessed of the Lord, that they be so strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, that they can stand in the presence of drugs and not become a druggie. They can stand in the presence of alcoholism all around them and not yield and succumb and become an alcoholic. That they can be in a perverse culture and not be a subculture, but be a counterculture to the perversion that's out there. Hallelujah. Because we're not of it. And because we know how to pray. Because we're blessed. Hallelujah. And because our borders are being enlarged and because the hand of the Lord's heavy upon us. Not because it's impossible for us to yield. It's not probable because we love God and we're praying and we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I just wonder if I was able to speak to the entire body of Christ at large and I said to them, Jesus said he ain't gonna pray that God would take us out of here, but that God would keep us from the evil here. How many people would just have a cardiac arrest? And it's in red. I was a little boy, I can remember this, and I've said this before, and some of you weren't taught this, but I was taught, read the red and believe for the power. So I was just read the red and believe for the power. Go back to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Is it appropriate? Is it proper for me to pray for God to bless me? Absolutely. And this is a model for us. And between it and Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, and Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 that I gave you, when you put all that together, then our heart is right. We're not pursuing material gain, but material gain is pursuing us. And see, when the blessing of the Lord makes you rich, God adds no sorrow to it. But see, when your riches, your material gain comes through the arm of the flesh, comes through manipulation, comes through unrighteous means, those things that you think are going to be a blessing become a burden to you, saints. I believe you're getting it. I believe you understand it. So I believe this is a blessing for you. Let's do it one more time. Verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Not less honorable, more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. This man overcame some great obstacles. This man overcame his past, overcame family curses, overcame what man could say and what man could do and man's destiny of defeat and lack. He looked at God's blessing in others' lives and said, why not me? Why not me? He looked at Abraham, a man in Ur of the Chaldees, worshiping the moon god, and God blessed him. He looked at Isaac and how Isaac sowed in famine and reaped a hundredfold return. He looked at Jacob the twister, a man that wasn't perfect after the flesh, to say the least, and yet had such a heart for God and a tenacity for the things of God that his heart got changed and his name got changed. And a man in the Bible is called the Israel of God. The first Israel of God was not a piece of dirt in the Middle East. It was a man. And out of that man, Israel, came 12 tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. He looked at Joseph, a man in jail, a man put in prison, a man done unjustly, and yet that man had such a heart for God, and God blessed him. Everybody say, blessed him. He blessed Joseph so much, Joseph got promoted from jail to second only to Pharaoh, and the blessing of the Lord was so strong on Joseph, Potiphar, an ungodly man, a man in the world, got blessed because of Joseph's presence in his life. We ought to be so blessed, we ought to be flowing in the blessing so much that even the sinners around us want to be around us because they get blessed. The Bible says that Solomon had so much money, he was so blessed of the Lord, they just stacked the silver up, didn't even count it when the IRS came in to see what he had. That's blessed. I don't know anybody where we stack up the silver and don't even count it because they're so blessed of the Lord. He looked at all that and listen, he thought, those people weren't perfect. Those people didn't have a corner on God. They weren't special after the flesh. He saw the blessing of the Lord through faith and simple faith. And he just went, why not me? So what if my name means pain? So what if man has locked me into death and tried to hold me down by my past? I am going to call upon God and ask him to bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and his hand be with me, and to keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted it. Hallelujah. Listen, he'll grant it for you too. Amen? He'll grant it for you too. He'll do it for you too. He'll do it for me. We just need to ask. And so don't you be embarrassed to ask. Don't you let my messages of focus or me trying to keep us pure of heart be twisted in your mind as if now it would be improper for you to ask God for anything. You ask Him. He loves you and He wants to bless you. Amen. 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 Praise God. Let's stand. Hallelujah. I don't think it would be too manipulative to ask you to pray with me. Many of us came out of churches where we did prayers together and we recited prayers together. We're praying it right out of the Bible. So let's bow our head and pray this together. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless me indeed, to enlarge my coast, my territory, my sphere of influence, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it not grieve me. I thank you now that if I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. And if you hear me, you grant the petition I desire. I believe I receive of the blessing of the Lord. Make me a blessing through blessing me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You believe it? Well, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Lord has blessed you. And the Lord will keep you. And the Lord has made His face to shine upon you and been gracious unto you. And the Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed. Share the love of God with somebody and act like you mean it.